like
Start your day the Torah way, Northwest London, Tuesday, 19th of Kislev, 13th of December. Rabbi Michal Kretzler, Shlita, Prohibition of Sciatic Nerve, Gid Hanoshe. This week's Torah is sponsored by families Gela and Kretzler, Lichvud, Simchas Hanesum of Tirtz and Avi, whose Chasna took place on Sunday. Yehi Rotzon Shivnu Bais Ne'emon B'Yisrael, L'Shem V'Lishilo.
Connecting remotely with us today this morning. This shiur was originally scheduled to be in Parshas Vayishlach, and although it's been postponed, though it's been shifted to today, the subject matter and the topic remain the same, regarding the Issur of Gira Anoshe. Starting with the Pasuk, episode in Parshas Vayishlach, where Yaakov fought with the Sari Shal Issur, the Malach, throughout the Laila, until eventually the Malach succumbed to Yaakov Avinu, and he was vanquished by Yaakov Avinu. However, Yaakov Avinu suffered slightly from the Malach. It says that the Malach managed to overcome Yaakov Avinu, specifically in the place of the Gid Anoshe. And Yaakov, as a result, suffered from a certain element of leanness due to the Malach having seized control over the area of the Gid Anoshe. It says, as Yaakov left the place, he called it Pniel, v'yizach le'ashemesh kashav ovas Pniel, v'utzele al yireichoy. Yaakov Avinu was limping. Al kein lo yoichlu v'ni Yisrael is Gid Anoshe, asher al kaf ha-yorich, ad ha-yoyim ha-zeh. Ki noga v'chaf yerich Yaakov v'Gid Anoshe. The Pasuk, following on from this episode, introduces us to a new concept, a new Issa, which will be existent not just for Bnei Noach, also for Bnei Yaakov Avinu. It's a mitzvah, which is Neheges the Doyrutz, for Klal Yisrael. And Issa to eat from the Gid Anoshe. Al kein lo yoichlu v'ni Yisrael is Gid Anoshe, asher al kaf ha-yorech ad ha-yoyim hazeh. Why? Ki noga v'chaf yerech Yaakov b'Gid Anoshe. The Rishonim al HaTorah take note of this almost singular expression, al kein lo yoichlu v'ni Yisrael is Gid Anoshe. What's this expression, al kein? Torah should say, let's have a look what Rishonim have to say about this. The Chizkuni says as follows. He says, Al kein lo yichlu k'moy v'hu lo kein yedamet. K'loima bedinu shish liknis v'lano yish b'nei Yisrael v'achilas Gid Anoshe. It's justified. It's something which is justified. Bedinu shish liknis v'lano yish b'nei Yisrael v'achilas Gid Anoshe. The very fact that this saga took place, Yaakov Avinu left limping, warrants this issa, warrants the fact that Klal Yisrael will have a knas, they'll have a penalty, they'll have to forfeit something. That is, what is that? That is the area of the Gid Anoshe, which become also bachira. Why? Shinichu es avim hoylech yichidi. The Bnei Yaakov left their father alone, as it says, Vayivase Yaakov levadi. Veheino yugiboyrim. The Bnei Yaakov Avinu shvotim possessed tremendous might. They should have stayed around with their father to accompany him, and that had they done so, they would have been successful in preventing this whole fight. They could have helped him. However, they didn't accompany him. Yaakov Avinu was damaged because of, as a result. Therefore, as a knas on the Gid Anoshe, and they're not allowed to eat Gid Anoshe, Klal Yisrael not allowed to eat Gid Anoshe anymore. And b'meila from that, the lesson should be learnt to always make sure not to leave the old father alone, to make sure you accompany him wherever you go, and not just a parent, but anybody for that respect who might be entering an area of danger, to make sure that you provide an escort, you provide suitable protection. They shouldn't enter danger zone. These are the words of the Chizkuni. However, the Rosh, before him, already mentions this concept. And he adds a few interesting words. The Rosh HaTorah says, Pirish, what's this Rosh Al-Kin? Pirish, Al-Shinichu Lech Yochid V'Nichshal. Because Yaakov Avinu went alone, his sons didn't accompany him, V'Nichshal Bidvorov, and because of this, he stumbled, he had this Mishal, the Malach took control, managed to smite him with Gila Noshe. Therefore, the Torah says, as a Knas, as an Oynish, they're going to lose the Michael Toiv, the choice area of the Gila Noshe, the Michael Toiv, the choice Michael.
Where was Yaakov in the second? I mean, he should have been born already, but where was he?
He crossed Mava Yavik, and he was standing alone.
Why was he alone? Why did he go? Why did he?
His sons didn't accompany him. So it's
Achmatan.
Yeah, he went back to fetch Achmatan. They should have gone to fetch. They should have gone. The essence here is that they should have gone. His sons should have accompanied him. You see, they said Machel Toiv L'Doy Doyim against him Lamaskez Ovin. Therefore, they lost. Klai saw forfeited a Machel Toiv, a choice Machel. So the words of the Rosh are extremely problematic. As is well known, when we talk about choice meat, certain slices of meat, we never refer to the Gila Noshe. Nobody sees the Gila Noshe as being Machel Toiv, as being a choice cut of meat. To the contrary, is a Machlekes Tanoim, Yish Begidim B'Leisim Tam, or Ein Begidim B'Leisim Tam? Machlekes onto Tanoim. That means, according to at least some of the Tanoim, Ein Begidim B'Leisim Tam. The gid is tasteless, it's gormless, there's no taste behind it. It's a sinew which has no taste behind. There's no taste to it. And makes enough good halacha. If Ein Begidim B'Leisim Tam, there can be enough good in halacha. How can the Rosh therefore then say, according to those opinions, the whole Ein Begidim B'Leisim Tam, that the Gila Noshe is a Machel Toiv? They lost a Machel Toiv. What are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me that according to the other opinions, at least the Rosh maybe is going, possibly going according to the other opinions of the Tanoim, who say that Yesh Begidim B'Leisim Tam. However, the Rashba and Shuva, the Rashba and Shuva Sarashba, the Rashba says, what's going on? The machlik is Yish Begidim Tam or Ein Begidim B'Leisim Tam? Go ask the Goy. Does the Gidah Noshe have a tam or not have a tam? You'll soon find out if it has a taste or doesn't have a taste. What's the whole machlik is? Machlik is in Metzias, if the Gidah has a tam, doesn't have a tam? A Goy. Find a reliable Goy. Ask him what he has to say about it. Surely his ways of finding out, it's a laboratory test, whatever it is, his ways of finding out whether the Gidah Noshe has a tam or not. How can therefore can it be a machlik is if it does a tam, it doesn't have a tam? So says the Rashba, to explain this, that everyone agrees there is a certain element of tam to the Gila Noshe. Just it's extremely weak. The taste is very, very bland. Kimat doesn't exist. And Nechlekah Tanoim, the Tanoim Achelek, does that taste, that minute amount of taste, constitute enough of a chashivas of tam of Eichel to be constituted? Which we consider to be oichel in dinik Torah or not. That means there's no machlekes, does the gid have tam, not have tam? Everyone agrees that the gid has a certain amount of tam, but very, very limited in its in actual taste buds, hardly detect the tam. Based on that premise, says the Rashba, there's a machlekes, tanoim, does that small amount of tam constitute tam or not constitute tam? So, according to the Rashba, according to what we see from the Rashba, which is extremely plausible and highly logical, that would be the machlekes. Not a machlekes, sort of a polar extreme machlekes, does the gid have full tam, or is it totally bland, has no taste at all? So, everyone agrees, everyone's on the same page, that a gid has a certain amount of tam, a very, very, very small amount, a minute amount of tam, of taste. So, if that's the case, it's hard to imagine that the Rashba, that the Rosh says, they've seen the oisim machel toiv. It means, according to everybody, according to all opinions, even the old Yesh Begidim B'Leisim Tam, but it's a tiny amount of tam. Why is that called a Machel Toiv? Why is that? Is it such a loss? Is that such a punishment? That from then onwards, Al Kain, as the Apostle says, Al Kain, that the Kaiser are going to suffer, that they're going to lose out on the Machel Toiv. So, this is actually a quite It's a point which has to be addressed in the Rosh. There are those who want to see that possibly the Rosh meant to say that since you have to take off the whole hindquarters, one takes off the whole hindquarters, doesn't just purge out the Gidah Noshe from amongst the thigh. The minig is to that we cut off the whole hindquarters and we sell it to a non-Jew. For him it's permitted to eat. So that as a result of Gidah Noshe, one loses not just the actual gid, one loses also the whole leg, the whole hindquarters. However, it's a difficult approach to say that's Pshat Nerosh. Because Mi'ikadin, there's no problem. Those who are Mumchim, B'nikra Agid, can do Nikra Agid, they can purge the Gidah, they can take out the Gidah Noshe from the behemoth. The reason why we don't do that is just as a matter of, it's a minig, because of the lack of expertise, because it's a difficult exercise to actually perform, and it's based upon a highly precise Masaira, that's why we don't actually enter into that area of risk, that possibly one will encounter, if not do it correctly, and enter possibly the danger zone of eating the Gidah Noshe. But Mi'ikadin, there's no problem at all just to take out the gid. I don't lose the rest. There's no reason why one has to lose any other of the meat of the behemoth. Also, it happens to be there is very little meat, besides the Gidah Noshe, amongst those high quarters. To say it's a Machal Toiv also seems to be a little bit difficult to say that the Rosh should mean that. That's one of the approaches that they want to do that written to explain the Rosh. However, since it's just a minig ba'alma, it's not Mi'ikadin, that wouldn't seem to be a very good, plausible interpretation of the words of the Rosh. There is another approach that if the Gidah Noshe would fall into a Taruvus, if it would fall into other pieces of meat, a stew, get mixed up, so then there's a possibility that the Gidah Noshe would usher the rest of the stew if it's less than 60. Again, if you're the Yishli Gidah B'nai Sin Tam, then there's Tam. And the Tam is like the Tam of Chazo or any other meat, which makes an Issa, unless it's 60 connected. If you hold Aim the Gidah B'nai Sin Tam, then there's no Tam which usses. The Tam doesn't make an Issa. But if the Gid itself is still present, if you didn't fish out the Gid itself, then the Issa will be because of the Gid. Since the Torah usses the Gid, Eitzu v'atoyra osra, even though it's got a status of wood, Eitzu v'atoyra osra in it, Memela, it makes an Issa on the other meat. Now the Hesed is, it's a knock-on effect. Once the Torah asking Gidah Noshe, that could cause a Hesed of Machal Toiv, that could cause a person to lose the rest of the Machal. But again, very difficult to say that's Pshat Nerosh. We're talking about a derivative, talking about a corollary, something which came as a result of the Issa of the Torah, not talking about the actual Issa of the Torah. Gidah Noshe itself is not a Machal Toiv. Well, if it would fall into Taruvas of other meat, then you'd have to lose the other meat. That's, the Rosh wants to say, why did you ask this Machal Mitzalatzmai? Not if it would happen in a scenario where it would get mixed up with other pieces of meat. So, there's a different way which occurred to me, where one could explain the Rosh. What's the Hesed of the Machal Toiv? I feel like it's beginning to be some time, but it's a tiny amount of time. So what's this Machal Toiv? And that is based on the words of the Aruch Chaim. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says that, explains that when the Malach hit Yaakov Avinu b'mokim ha-Gidah Noshe, so the Gidah Noshe moved, it came dislocated from its place, it moved slightly. And he says once it moved, so it attracted clippers of Tumah, and it became Osa. It's dazer mim koimai, and it became contaminated with clippers of Tumah once it left its place. And once it was in Yaakov Avinu in the Mokim in the correct place, it was fine. Once it left its place, it became contaminated with Tumah. So one could say that indeed the fact that a Gidah Noshe is a beginning of an instant time, that's all a titzah. That's all a result of that, what happened to Yaakov Avinu. Once Yaakov Avinu, Gidah Noshe became moved out of its place, the Gidah Noshe attracted clippers of Tumah, and as a result, it lost its taste. Beforehand, the Gid was like the rest of the Basa. The Gidah Noshe had a taste, had a full taste. But as a result of what happened to him, that's what made the Gid lose its taste. That's what the Rosh means to say. That's good for the Issa itself made a transformation in the Metzias, that the Gid lost its taste, and therefore, As a result, Klai Yisrael lost a Machal Toiv. In Zohar it says that there's 365, you know, there's 365, there's Ramach Shasa, 248 limbs in the body, and 365 Gidim, sinews. Says the Zohar Kodesh, each one of the 365, the Shasa Gidim, is connected one of the days of the year, of the solar year, which is 365 days. And since the Zohar Kodesh, Gid HaNoshe, is connected Tisha B'Av. Of all the days of the year, there's plenty said about it. Gid HaNoshe is connected Tisha B'Av. Why? Because then the Sarish of Esau has a shlita, has a possession over Klal Yisrael. The Malach had that shlita on that particular day of Tisha B'Av. So the Pasuk says, Alki lo yichu yisrael is Gid HaNoshe, Ad HaYoyim HaZeh. It's lost other humans there. It seems to be slightly incongruous. The Torah must tell us that what? A Gid HaNoshe will exist, Ledoiris. Whatever the Torah says in Issa, which is to be noyeg, not just Beshato, not just at that particular juncture time, but it's supposed to continue, Ledoiris. It says, Ledoiris Eichem. Plenty of times the Torah says, this is it, Lechav Ledoirisov, Lo Ledoirisov. When the Torah says in Issa, a mitzvah, which the Torah wants it to apply throughout the generations, it says, Ledoiris Eichem. Ad HaYoyim HaZeh. What's this lashon ad hayom hazeh? Rashi says in Parshas Vayira, "Vayikra shem amokim ahu be'er sheva ad hayom hazeh." You find that the Torah says ad hayom hazeh a few various places. It says by Moshe Rabbeinu, "V'layoda ishes kivurosoi ad hayom hazeh." Says Rashi, that's to tell you that it's not just something which happened at that time. The time when Moshe Rabbeinu was buried, then he didn't know, but maybe in future days that Moshe Rabbeinu's burial place will be located. No, ad hayom hazeh will always be. Throughout the Torah, it will always be Ad HaYoyim HaZeh. Vayikra lo Be'er Sheva, it will always be called Be'er Sheva. But that's in reference to that type of description. We're talking about an Issa, a mitzvah in the Torah. The Torah never says Ad HaYoyim HaZeh. The Torah says L'do Yiseichem, throughout the generations. So what's this lashon Ad HaYoyim HaZeh? So Rabbi Tzadok HaKohen, as the Sefer, what's this? Not Rabbi Tzadok HaKohen, sorry. Not Rabbi Tzadok HaKohen. I'll come back to you in a second. Rabbi Yosef Engel, that's right, yeah. Rabbi Yosef Engel has a sefer. When he says, Ad HaYoyim HaZeh, it doesn't mean, it's the same as follows. Ad HaYoyim HaZeh means that Issa Gid HaNoshe will apply. All mitzvahs, the Torah says in general, we know, Zins HaTorah, Lo Yitein Buch Nefes, that the Torah will never change. Even when Mashiach comes, the mitzvahs will continue. However, Gid HaNoshe, the Torah says, Ad HaYoyim HaZeh, to tell you that when Mashiach comes, the Gid will become Mutzah Bachila. The Gid will become Mutter, will revert to coming Mutter. Ad HaYoyim HaZeh means till Mashiach comes. Why? Because HaZeh always means the revealed. HaZeh. Ahu is the unrevealed. That's the Gaon says in the Gilas Esther. Ahu means something which you don't see. That's what it says, but Moedah B'Mikses. Who's Zeh? Moedah B'Mikses means a person that partly is revealed. He's Moedah to a Chilek, and he's Makhish a Chilek. So that's what it says, who and Zeh. The Zeh is what he admits to, and the who is what he keeps, is what he denies. And when the Torah refers to Yemeitza Moshiach or Olim Haba, the Torah always says, Adayim Ahu. V'hoyom v'yoyim Ahu v'chula. Every time there's a reference to Moshiach, Yemeitza Moshiach, it says, V'hoyom v'yoyim Ahu. So here the Torah says, Adayim HaZeh, the Torah means, up to the era of Moshiach. When Moshiach comes, the Gid HaNoshe will become Gid Mutar. What's there to eat in the gate? If Ebi Gidim Nesan Tam. If Ebi Gidim Nesan Tam, what's there to eat in the gate? What will we enjoy? What's there to enjoy? Well, according to this interpretation, that's the Issa which takes away the Tam. So when Mashiach comes, the Gid HaNoshe will again go back to having the same status as it had before the Malach attacked Yaakov Avinu. And it'll go back to having a Tam again. It's only called Zaman that it's dislocated from its place when the Sash Esau. Which again, it's Tisha B'Av. Once Mashiach comes, it's the tikkun of Tisha B'Av, the tikkun of Golus. Then, Rain Mistaba, the Gid will come back to the coming Mutter again. That's what it says, the Hoya B'Yim HaZeh. Now, just to like to mention something else regarding Gid HaNoshe, and that's as follows. Gid HaNoshe, in the Gid of Nesin Tam, the Gid's got no time at all. So generally, a Michael, if a person takes a regular Michael of Issa, a piece of Chazah, if Chaz is mixed together with other foods which might be extremely bitter, and take away from the tam, he cooks it in a way where there's no tam, then the achila is called achila shalei kedarka. Whenever the achila is shalei kedarka, there's no chiyuv, there's no issa deraisa to eat that machal. Machal has to eat in kederach achila osay. So when the Torah says agila noshe is osa, even though the gid's got no tam, the shayla is, does that mean that even if one eats it raw, let's say, a raw good gid noshe, where he just cooks it without bringing it to a status, to a state where it becomes palatable at all, does that mean he's also over on the issa? Or does he have to cook it, treat it in a way where he has to make it where a person could be able to eat it in a regular fashion? So regarding this nekuda, we find as follows. We find that Shuvin Chasson Sefer, when the Chasson Sefer says over the following incident, that when the Shlakas Arya, one of his travels, as he knows, Shlakas Arya left many towns, and he made his way over to Mainz in Germany, so he passed through the town of Frankfurt, and he met Reb Nosson Adler. So he presented Reb Nosson Adler with the following question. He said to him that the Rambam says there's an Issa of Eva Menachai and Bossa Menachai. Two Issarim. Eva Menachai and Bossa Menachai. And says the Rambam, that's an Issa also for Bnei Noach. Bnei Noach also got an Issa of Bossa Menachai and Eva Menachai. So Shai Bazari asked Reb Nosson Adler as follows. He said to him that this Mishlema for a Yid, as far as the Jew is concerned, I understand why we need two Issarim. Why? Because even the first Eva Menachai is comprised of Gidin and Somers and Bossa. Three elements to it. The Bossa, Gidin and Somers, if one eats all together, that's called Eva Menachai. However, the Bossa Menachai, why is it Issa Bossa Menachai? If a person eats, why is it Issa Eva Menachai? Every time a person eats Eva Menachai, he's also eating Bossa. So his Issa is because of the Bossa, not because of the Eva. But for a Yid, there's an Afkimina, because the Yid's got Hilchas Shi'urim. A Yid has to eat a Kezais. So the nafkamina would be, if a person eats an eva, and there's no kuzais in the bossa, the halacha is that the gidin v'atzama is joined together, the mitzarev, to make the kuzais, even though he didn't eat a kuzais bossa. So here we have a hechatimsa, where there's no kuzais in the bossa, and his only issa is going to be because of the issa of eva menachai, because the gidin v'atzama is the mitzarev to make a kuzais. That's all for a yid. However, for a goy, the halacha is, ein shiurim ivnei nayach. A goy's got no shiurim. That means a goy, even for a pachis mikazayis of bossa, is also over on the issa. So for a goy, there's no nafka mina in the issa of eva melachai. In eva melachai, he's got to ingest also the bossa. So he's over on the issa of bossa. Typically, it's also because of the bossa. Why make a new issa of eva melachai when he's anyway also because of bossa melachai? That was the question that the Shlakas Arya asked of Nosson Adler, a challenging question. So, to make it quick, the Chasson Sefer says the nafka mina would be, if a goy has pikuach nefesh, if a goy is presented the situation where he's got to have a piece of meat to save his life, he should rather choose the piece of meat, just meat by itself, which is only bossa menachai, and not eat the eva menachai. Because if he eats the eva menachai, he'll be even two isurim, as opposed to one. He'll have bossa menachai and eva menachai. That would be enough gemina. So the Chasson Sefer he took on that as a heter for a goy to over his zayim, it's b'nei noach, b'mokum pikuach nefesh. However, Kiva Egan, Shuva argues on that. He says the whole heter of a chai behem, which we know, the chai behem v'loishi yomos behem, that we're allowed to eat, be over, to transgress his room and to live, is only for a yid. However, goy, his zayim is really nayach, Kiva Egan takes on, he hasn't got that heter at all. So that's Kiva Egan Shuva. However, Kiva Egan himself, in Pesachim, Daf Chaf Dalet, Kiva Egan himself says that he's got a different test to the kasha. The test to the kasha is, says Kiva Egan, that if a goy would eat it shaloi kederach achila, if a goy would eat an eva menachai in an irregular fashion, it wouldn't cook it, let's say, shaloi kederach achila. So mitzad the issa of basar, any issa which a person eats shaloi kederach achila, he's not chayful. However, eva menachai is different. Why? Because eva menachai, part of the issa, the Torah says that kezayis can be made up of the basar and that somas and the gibbon. Now the gibbon don't have a tam, that somas definitely don't have a tam. And Afar B'Kain, the Torah says that all those three together, they can be starved, they can make up the Shia, the Kazais. So you see that even Achai, you don't need to have Kederach Achila. You don't need to have Kederach Achila. So Mikivega says, that will be the reason why the Torah says, the new Issa of Eivim and Achai. That it's not the Bossa, if you eat it Shalei Kederach Achila, there's no Chiyav Dereisa. But once a person is eating a whole Eva, The same as the Gidina Somers, he's chayav for even though he ate it shlekedech achila. So the bosa as well will be over, even though he ate it shlekedech achila. There's no reason why the bosa should be inferior to the Gidina Somers. It's a special chiddush even achay that you can be over even shlekedech achila. So you see from the Kiva'iga that he took on that if you eat something even achay, even completely regularly, even shlekedech achila, you're also chayav. However, to mention, there's a few kashas in the Kiva'iga, but we haven't got the time to discuss them right now. Rav Shach, Sefer Aviezri, Rav Shach has other opinion, not like that. He says, the Torah says, Ein begid b'leis in tam. It means you have to still eat it in a regular fashion. Just even though the gid is etz, even though it's a piece of wood, it's got no tam, you've got to treat it in a way, you've got to treat it, add spices to it, to make it palatable. That you actually, when you come to eat, the ma'is achila has to be in the regular derech. Not something that you're eating, chewing something which is totally, which is shaloika derech. The Torah's kiddush is that even the machol mitzvah atzmai hasn't got a taste, nonetheless, you have to still eat it shkederech achila. And in fact, the Prima Godim says that already. The Prima Godim in Yoni Deh already says that to be over in Gidah Noshe, and also even in Achai, is no. It's like all other Yisroel in the Torah, that shaloi kederech achila, you're potter, there's no chiv. In order to be over on it, one has to treat it in a way, one has to add taste to it, external taste, or eat it in a way, make it in a certain way, to eat it together with the rest of the kedera, eat it in a certain way, where the actual surah, the ma'is achila, is kederech achila. Rav Kivega didn't take all of that, as we saw. Just to conclude with an interesting ma'isa regarding the Gid Anoshe. The Palisi records, the reason Ibershitz, the Bala Palisi, he says that there was once a Menache Hagid, so he took out the Gidim, who went traveled to whole Eretz Ashkenaz, whole Germany, and he convinced everybody that the Gid Anoshe that everyone's taking out is in fact a different Gid. Truly a different Gid. They're all being over the Gid Anoshe. It's a different sinew. And he's a big time Chacham, and he was very convinced in his argument. He said, until this Menache Hagid came to his town, his hometown of Prague, and he told him, it's the same Shtikl Torah, that's a different Gid. But Rabbi Yisrael Ibershitz said to him, no, you're wrong. What's my right that you're wrong? He writes to the police, because in the Smak, in the Sefer Smak, Sefer Mitzvah Ketanas, he writes that this mitzvah is neheges b'zuchar gam b'nikevus, also the females. Said, if you look at the anatomy, the physiology of an animal, of a female animal, this gid, which this Menachem wants to say is the real gid anosha, it only exists by a zuchar, not by nekevus. So it can't be his right, because the smak says it applies also by nekevus, and this new gid, which he says is the real gid anosha, is only by zuchar, not by nekevus. So he can't be right. End of the argument. Says that in the Sefer of Zelma Velozhna, called Togdus Ha'odom, he says, Shkia Gedoyla Shogar Kaplesi. Which completely made a whopping mistake. And the Siddur Satos is Prusa Akobele Odom. Even the Plesi, even the Goyim of the Ibershitz, made here, he stumbled over something very, very simple. When the Smak says that it's Noyeg Nikavis, it doesn't mean behemoths Nikavis, it doesn't mean the animals are female. It means, like Chinuch says plenty of times, it means that the person, it's Noyeg, is the Mitzah. Regarding the people who have the injunction of the Issa, Zchorim and the Kavis. Clearly so, the people who have the Issa, males and females, have the Issa to eat, Gid Anoshe, but not the behemoths and the Kavah. So it's a huge toss. Even Mr. Hamshitz, how can you make such a simple toss?
So it doesn't apply to women?
Sorry?
Doesn't apply to women?
To men and ladies are also to eat the Gid Anoshe.
What's the notion there? Because normally it says Noyeg.
Yes, yeah, so it says Noyeg. Yeah, so you have a look there, it's a whole shadow. So number one, they couldn't find the smak. It's not so mefurish, but chlal and the smak. Anyway, cut a long story short. For many years, the Chasam Sofer had it to me also on the Plesi. Because the Lashon, according to the Lashon, all the Rishon they could find could fit very, very easily the fact that the people have to describe in the caves. Many years later, after the war, there was actually a descendant of Rabbeinu Ibershitz who came across a Tefus Rishon, the first print of a Plesi from his ancestor. And it had Rabbeinu Ibershitz's name in the front of the Sefer. It said, Rabbeinu Ibershitz. And he looked up the Plesi there, and it said there, it had a line crossing out. Instead of saying, Samach Mem Kuf, which is the Smak, it said, Samach He Nun Kuf, which is an acronym for a completely different Sefer. Sefer Hilchis Nikur, Cotton. Written by Kadman, which the Torah even brings, written by one of the former Rishonim. Sefer Hilchis Nikur Agid, Sefer Hilchis Nikur. They looked it up there, and there, in this obscure Sefer, it says, when the Hages be behemoth Nikivus, Befurish. There's a misprint in the original print, And presumably the police himself had noticed it and crossed it out and corrected it. Samach hei nun kuf. It says, behemis nekevis mefurish. However, there still was a dust still didn't settle. Why did the police not himself make a public announcement and want his further sporing to correct it, if it was such a blatant mistake? Eventually they found, they worked out that it wasn't a rebuke. It said Yunus Ibishit in the front page. But in fact, it wasn't the police himself. It wasn't their rebuke Ibishit that we know. It was a nephew who had the same name as him, a Rav in a different town, and he noticed the mistake and corrected it to say, Samach Hei Nun Kuf. However, there does Taka say that it's referring to the behemoths, the Memela, even that mistake, this mistake also didn't exist regarding the police.
I'm going to go to the hospital.